opening time. Hey there, cats and kittens. My name is Mike Coughlin, and welcome to the Half Guarded Hour here at halfguarded.com. This is the first episode that will ever be on iTunes. And it will be magnificent because I have a whole bunch of weird people that I'm going to bring on the show. But until I get to that point, I'm just going to talk like I normally do. Those of you who know me normally know the show is being called Five Star Radio because I've done that since 2016. However, due to the fact that I like the idea of, synergy. We call it half-guarded radio right now, because then you think half-guarded, half-guarded what? Halfguarded.com? Oh, fantastic. And so we will be bringing on guests throughout the show. I don't know if this will be 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. It'll be two shows, three shows, five shows. I don't know. I don't care. Dog, get off of me. We got two puggles sitting here right now as I record this, and they're both happy to be here, aren't you? Who sniffed? Sniff, 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 sniff it. I don't know if they sniffed it. But, these shows are semi-evergreen, I think. In the future, I'll probably start doing them during the week. I'm recording this on Friday the 13th. Dun, dun, dun. And it'll probably be released on Monday or Tuesday. When the fuck I get around to it, I don't know. But go to halfguarded.com for all the latest news and updates and all that shit you want. Because that's what we got to do here, right? The whole point of this is to plug the website. But yes, I'm Mike Coughlin. This is a show that will focus, as a general rule, on mixed martial arts and fighting. And I hope that if you're like a first-time listener, you're like, oh, wow, look at that. I have Glory fighting on in the background, the UFC Fight Pass. But it'll also be just about whatever's going on in the world. Like, I got like a bunch of shit written down. And I don't know what all these notes mean. Like, Clinton lies and teen exposes cock in yearbook photo and staring down a black guy in the street. So I don't know what all these things mean, but I have various people. Some of them are random people from Twitter. Some of them from random people from Facebook, whatever. I'm going to call them up. Yes, I'm going to call random people up and just ask them, hey, what do you think about what's going on? And we'll just talk to them. Because I've done a solo show all by myself for a decade, and I can keep doing that, and I will keep doing that. That will be the Five Star Radio walkabout. Oh my gosh, it's been like 3 minutes and nothing has happened. Why are you still listening? I'm really grateful. Woohoo! Let's get us to like 1,000 listeners or whatever. Like, if we get like 1 million listeners, I can make like $500 a show or something. I don't know what the fuck it is. I don't care. But we will be recording, and I want to say a special thank you, because this is the third week in a row I've tried to do this. The first week is sounding like shit. I use a crappy recorder program with my iPhone, and it just didn't sound right. I'm like, fuck it. Last week, I want to thank our very first ever guest, and I'll call her longtime listener, Lauren. I'll probably say her last name, and I may call her later tonight. I don't really know Lauren, except through Facebook. And the point of this show is to drink a lot of alcohol and then take Ambien, so I don't remember. And sure enough, I woke up last Saturday, and I looked at my Skype, and I'm like, what the fuck did I spend like $3 on? And sure enough, I talked to her for like 2 hours. I just forgot to hit record. So she was technically the first ever guest on the Half Guarded Hour here at halfguarded.com. Dun, dun, dun. But I was too stupid to hit record, because that would be, you know, the single most basic thing you need to do if you're recording a podcast. And I forgot to do it. But I'm going to try to call her tonight, because I guess she's graduating from something. And she said, oh, my family will be around. It'd be hilarious. I'm like, oh, I'll fucking talk to your family. I don't care. So I've been drinking for, you know, almost 5 hours, 4 hours now, or whatever. Not enough, though. Like, I should be way more blitzed than I am. I'm going to remember all this. So, I could do, like, the shows I normally do, which is me talking about shit as I go through my list. Some is, like, shit, like, if I ever become a stand-up comedian, I want to use it. I never will. I talk about the fuck faces I work with. Like, right now, I got this job. For those who don't know, and I like how I pretend like there's anybody listening to this for the first time ever. Hold on, I'm going to take a drink. Fuck, I spilled on myself. I drink wine, by the way. But on the off chance that there's somebody listening to this show for the first time ever, they've never heard of Mike Coffin at halfguarded.com. I'm a practicing attorney here in the state of Illinois. And yes, ladies, I'm single. And right now I'm working a gig. I take gigs here and there. I run my own practice. But sometimes I get called up to do some work, and I work with like a bunch of other attorneys to clean shit up, and it's boring and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, I most of the day I just sit there on a fucking computer and I read files, I do things, and I listen to podcasts. If you don't like this one, which no one should, check out Doug Stanhope's podcast because it's awesome. It's my inspiration in life. He's everything I want to be. Rogan's isn't bad. It's very different and fascinating. Bill Burr is awesome, and Bert Kreischer is my other one. And allegedly with Theo Vaughn and some other gay dude. He's actually gay, so it's not a slur. Oh my gosh, Mike, what's wrong with you? So yeah, but I work with these people. And, you know, I got my own little cubicle. Sorry, people, being a lawyer is not always glamorous. I used to have an office, now I have a cubicle. And there's this fucking dick fuck. That's the only fuck way to describe him is a dick fuck. He's this fat fucking piece of shit who walks around thinking his shit don't stink. He looks like a pear. Like, his actual body type is that of a pear. And I just, every day I see him, I just want to fucking just punch him in the face, kick him in the nuts, and soccer kick him until he stops moving. He's so fucking annoying. This fucking douchebag brought his own coffee maker. There's a coffee, like, machine maker and all that shit, like, in, like, the fucking, like, makeshift fucking, what do you call that? Kitchen. This asshole, at his own cubicle, has his own coffee maker. And what the fuck kind of fucking piece of shit douchebag are you? You bring your own fucking coffee maker. Like, oh, no. And then he's talking about, like, and I actually wrote this down. he goes, I'm not a coffee snob. I just like to grind my own beans. I especially like to get beans from Ethiopia. You fucking piece of shit. I hope you fucking die. Also, he said, in regards to vodka, quote, Smirnoff is beneath me. Are you... What? One, I remember reading some shit that, like, nobody can actually tell the difference between the vodkas. And more than that, I drink, like, bottom shelf vodka. This stuff is, like, unlabeled in a plastic jug. And you're not drinking this shit straight, you piece of shit. You're mixing it. And if you're mixing your alcohol with anything, then just buy the cheapest shit possible because it's going to get you fucked up all the same. This fucking asshole also was talking about his dogs once. He's like, I got German Shepherds. He goes, but unless you're a family member or a friend, I do not let you pet them because they are my guard dogs. I'm like, you're a fucking lawyer. And you live in the suburbs of Chicago. You don't need a fucking, like, vicious murdering guard dog. You're not Hitler in the fucking eagle's nest worried about the Allies coming to get you, and you need your dog to be ready to attack and pounce at any moment. You're a fat fucking pear-shaped piece of shit who's a fucking loser of a lawyer who sucks ass, who grinds his own coffee beans from Ethiopia. Trust me, no one gives a fuck about your fucking loser-ass guard dogs. And a shit like that, it's so stupid in life. Because all these people, you know, and he's not alone. There's lots of people like this who overestimate their place. This whole zombie apocalypse thing. It's like, we all grew up in this world where, like, we're so bored of what's going on. We're like, oh, I wish life was more exciting. And so they pretend like there's a zombie apocalypse. Like, you know, guess what? Your life sucks. Like, you don't need a zombie apocalypse to tell you life sucks. Life just sucks. And it's going to continue to suck. And you got to learn to deal with it because that's just life. And the first round of this fucking fight in glory just ended. So whatever. That's 10 minutes of me ranting about absolutely nothing having to do with anything. Next thing you'll hear is me with someone. If it's a chick, I'm going to pull it out and wank the whole time. I hope her family listens to this. If you're, if I actually do call Ms. Lauren for the second time in a week or whatever, and you're, who's graduated from something, and you're like her family member, you're like, oh my gosh, she's on this famous podcast. But like, just let you know, I have two dogs, and I'm drinking wine out of a fucking coffee cup, and that's all I can really say. I won't say anything bad about your daughter, because I think she's nice. I have zero recollection of actually talking to her, but I'm sure she's a sweet girl. So anyways, we'll probably head to commercial break and then come back right here at the Half-Guarded Hour, five-star radio, alcohol and Ambien at halfguarded.com. Just go to fucking halfguarded.com. That's the only thing in the world that matters. And when you hear me next, there should be someone else that you hear also. Thanks, everyone. Dog, move. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Hi, everyone. Half-Guarded Hour here at halfguarded.com is brought to you by Brickhouse Tavern and Tap, specifically the one located in Downers Grove, Illinois. The Brickhouse Tavern and Tap is a family get-together with scantily clad women. You can go to the Brickhouse Tavern and Tap in Downers Grove at 1461 Butterfield Road, Downers Grove, Illinois. If you mention the Half-Guarded Hour at halfguarded.com, you'll get an extra 15 cents off of each platter that you purchase. Again, that's the Brickhouse Tavern and Tap in Downers Grove, Illinois.
Hello?
Grady?
Yeah, how are you?
Oh, I think it's working. I think I'm recording it.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
I don't give a shit. It's like a second segment on the show. I did like 10-minute open where I talked about dicks and shit. So, whatever. You can hear me okay?
It's a
though?
Good combination. Yeah, I can hear you. You can hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you just great. This is fantastic. The little bar thingy says input and output. Everybody, welcome to Half-Guarded... what's the name of the show? The Half-Guarded Hour at halfguarded.com, five-star radio, alcohol and Ambien, whatever. We have Matt Grady, one of the, one of the original contributors to halfguarded.com. Matt, say hi to everyone.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going, I don't know, they can't answer you. They can't talk back. It's a fucking podcast. What do you want from these people? For those of you that don't know, Matt is probably our second most prolific writer on the site behind myself, and that says a lot given that it's my website and everything. And Matt's done some just outstanding work, including this week talking about the UFC sale and all this shit. And since this probably won't go up until after UFC 198, we probably can't preview that shit,
right?
But nonetheless, I don't know. What do you want to talk about? Let's talk about the UFC sale. Is the UFC going to be sold to an anonymous group of Chinese men?
I doubt it. I mean, if anything, everything I'm reading and seeing on it is that it might be a partial thing, kind of like the guys from Abu Dhabi, that 10% deal. But I don't see them selling the whole thing right now by any stretch.
And, and a lot of people, speculating what would happen if they did. If, just like, say the Dana White was like, you know what, I'm tired of this shit, all the drug failures are too much, whatever. How do you think the UFC would fare if they weren't run by Dana White and the Fertitta brothers?
Well, I mean, you would assume if they were selling, there'd be some sort of transition period, right? But if they were just gone, just based on every other MMA promotion out there, it's pretty scary. I mean, some of these, your Bellators, your Ryzens, they're freak shows, And can somebody with no experience in combat sports promotion come in and run the UFC? I don't know. Can you hire the right people? Is there anybody with experience out there doing it? I don't know. I mean, there's obviously smart people who run companies and CEOs and executives and stuff, but MMA is a tough business. There's one big profitable company out there. It's run by Dana White and the Fertittas, and then there's a huge gap after that. I think it would be tough for somebody to come in totally new to the business and take over and be successful. It seems like a long shot.
Yeah, I agree. Although that has nothing to do with me publishing the article, because even if you disagreed, I still would publish it. But you're obviously a smart man, hence why I agree with you. But I liken it to, like, you could take Jack Welch, I think his name was, the guy that, like, turned around,
GE, right?
turned around GE or GM, one of the fucking G's in the early 80s, took it from nothing, made it a $1 billion thing, all this money. But if you asked him to, like, run a professional baseball team, he couldn't do it because he doesn't know baseball. And I think MMA and UFC, MMA, whatever, fighting is such a unique endeavor. It's not pro wrestling. It's not movies. It's something that if you basically don't spend and dedicate every single second of your life to, you probably can't run it very well. So the question becomes, Matt, do you think you could run the UFC?
No. I mean, obviously it's easy to, sit around and nitpick everything they do, whether it's the Reebok deal or how they handle weight cutting or drug testing or whatever it might be. But I mean, honestly, I don't know the ins and outs of everyday business there. I think that's beyond me at this point in my life. Maybe someday down the road, but not right now. No, I don't think it's an easy thing to do for somebody with no experience, even if they're really have their shit together.
Which you do, of course.
Somewhat, I mean, with certain things, but I'm not ready to run a $4 billion company for sure. That's for sure.
Well, I think, I mean, well, for you, what should we say? A restaurateur, basically, correct?
I'm a manager at a restaurant. Yes.
Well, just say restaurateur. You're like, like a
That
little.
that's a fancy word, but yeah.
Yeah. And see, you in that respect, you have the management perspective. Is would that be fair to say?
Yes.
And do and I this is something I really think that a lot of people don't get. And it comes from, running halfguarded.com, obviously the multi-million dollar website that it is, and talking to other people that run actual successful websites and businesses, is that I think a lot of people don't understand what it means to be the boss. Like they think it's easy, the boss is always a jerk, and they don't appreciate that they show up 9 to 5, they do their job, and then they walk away. And it's kind of like with Connor and Dana, where Connor's like, I don't get paid to promote fights. It's like, yes, you do. Like, you got where you are because you know how to promote fights. And don't give me this crap, and don't, depreciate what Dana White does. And so I guess as someone who is a manager, do you see a lot of that from, like, the common man perspective, whatever the fuck the common man is, Adrian Street or, Dusty Rhodes, whatever. Not Adrian Street. Dusty Rhodes is way better than Adrian Street. Do you think a lot of, like, fans, fight fans, stuff like that of that nature, don't appreciate exactly all the pressures that come with being a manager?
Well, my thing is just from watching the UFC grow. I mean, I know it's like this folklore now, but I legit watched the first UFC in 1993. I can remember watching it and talking about it. I was in high school at the time, talking with like other kids who happened to watch it, had black boxes or bought it or whatever it might be. Black box is a very dated term now. But I can remember it from then. And then the dead period. And then when Zuffa took over, it took a few years to get going. But they've done a good job, and people forget that. And I think the bottom line is there's the business aspect and there's the sporting aspect. and sometimes the two are going to butt heads. Sometimes you got to promote fights and you got to make money. And the bigger the fights are and the more they draw, the better it is for everybody in the company. Hopefully, you hate to say it trickles down, but hopefully everybody gets a better Christmas bonus when, you know, Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz do 1.5 million buys on pay-per-view. Does it happen that way? I don't know. I don't work in the company, but usually the more business you have coming in, the better it is for everybody. And if you crap on that, I don't think you see the whole picture.
So what you're saying is that basically Ronald Reagan was right about her running the UFC.
No, I'm not saying that at all. Well, but I think people crap on their success. It's fun to say Bellator's more pro fighter, but I don't know if that's the case. I mean, if you look at UFC, they're the ones spearheading the drug testing. They're the ones starting this weight cut policy change. They're the ones that are doing more sort of pro fighter things. And I don't think they get the respect for it. And I'm not totally pro UFC. I'm just comparing it to the rest of the world and the rest of these promotions where it's a free-for-all. You've got Japan where there's no testing, Bellator where you've got Kimbo scheduled for a fight after a failed steroid test in a couple months. And I don't think Zuffa gets the credit for that, for trying more often than not to do the – I don't want to say the right thing, but I don't know. I think there's a weird thing with MMA fans and the UFC when these other companies are still like the Wild Wild West even in 2016.
It's funny because you bring up Bellator and Kimbo and all that shit, and one of the things I think that a lot of fans don't appreciate is that you can look at the last giant Bellator show, because there's a show Saturday night which no one will watch, and for all the shit that UFC gets, they did not ever promote Dada 5000. Like, this man died in a fight.
Twice.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, he died twice in a fight, and Bellator is like, we probably won't book him again, but you didn't need hindsight to know that Dada 5000 probably should not be in a professional fight. Yeah, I mean, Kimbo shouldn't have either, but still, like, there is that thing like about that where, like, you know.
Or even Shamrock and Gracie. I mean, that whole show was insane. But the thing that about it, too, is that at the same time it drew. I mean, it was their most successful show ever. So there's a weird paradox there where it's like Bellator is trying to make money as well and pay the bills and everything else. But they're just doing it in a more drastic means than the UFC ever has, I think.
That's true. And like, again, I don't. Well, the Dada 5000 is one thing. Like, Ken and Hoyce, like, I kind of looked at it. I'm like, I get it. I was upset that they didn't, like, bring in Michael Chandler or any of, like, the younger guys, Will Brooks or something like that. Like, the undercard would be like, hey, this is what else we have to offer. And they're, like, in that difficult position where the UFC can put on a show which is nothing but pure sport. And, you know, go back to January. Carlos Condit, Robbie Lawler, amazing fight, one of the greatest fights in welterweight history, fight of the year maybe, 300,000 buys.
And nobody even talks about it now.
How crazy.
It's like it never happened.
Like, they did 300,000 buys. That is, like, five Affliction shows, basically.
Well, the fight that surprised me the most recently was the Jones-OSP fight. I think that only did, like, 350. I know I'm changing subjects here, but that was even weirder because you would have thought Jones, with all that press, with the arrests and the speeding and the police officer, in this day and age with all that social media, the stuff that got the McGregor-Diaz fight so much hype, it didn't equate at all to Jones. I found that kind of odd too. And obviously it was OSP, but I don't know. It's weird. It's weird what catches fire nowadays. Because I don't know. It's bizarre.
So, wait, I actually had not heard that yet because I live in a bubble where I ignore the rest of the world. They had only did 350?
I believe. I could be off. I thought I saw that somewhere.
Yeah, even if you're off by, you know, 50, who gives a shit? Like, if it's 400, like, the return of John Jones, and he's a big star. Like, do you think that all the stuff that went down last December, or fucking 2 Decembers ago, whatever I guess it is now, with the cocaine and then the speeding tickets, the drunken drive, hit and run, and all that. Do you think it's actually a case where John Jones may be the first guy to actually have the whole no publicity is actually, you know, whatever the fucking saying is? Like, did he actually hurt himself with all the publicity?
I don't know. That was also the weekend or the week where the McGregor stuff broke. And I think that pulled a lot of the focus away from Jones's return. I mean, that was kind of my initial take on it. There weren't a lot of other big shows around that time that people would have kind of passed up a Jones fight, I don't think. But, I mean, in general, he hasn't been a huge draw. Right now, he's probably their third biggest draw after Rousey and McGregor. But even so, I think that McGregor impact of him pulling, retiring, then being taken off the card, then the whole deal with Dana and everything. If you look even at that press conference that weekend, every question was about Connor. So I think that was a factor for sure. And Jones in general, I mean, his biggest fight was the Cormier fight. Before that, it might have been Sonnen. That's just off the top of my head, though.
Well, actually, you know, I actually have a Glory on in the background right now, and Todd fucking Grisham is on my TV, which is weird. But might something similar be happening to all you people who've already seen the show with UFC 198, where instead of everybody talking about this amazing show from Curitiba, Brazil, which is like, you know, like 40,000 people, super deep, amazing lineup of Brazilians, and yet all of the news this week has been dominated by what's basically a bullshit made-up story that the UFC is going to be sold. Do you think that that might hurt UFC 198?
I don't know. The Brazil shows are weird. Obviously, the Rousey-Correa fight was the most successful one down there. I mean, there was that argument for a long time that shows outside the U.S. wouldn't draw that well. But obviously, Rousey in Australia and Rousey in Brazil kind of proved that wrong. I don't know. Is Verdum versus Miocic a big dry main event in the States? No, I don't think so. I mean, a lot of hardcore fans are talking about Cyborg fighting, but I don't know if the general public really knows her or cares about her. I mean, she's never really been exposed on a big platform. There was, you know, Strikeforce and the Invicta cards, but how many people saw that? How many people even remember it, where they're going to plop down $55-$60 for a pay-per-view? I don't know. It's a good card for hardcore fans, obviously, but for the general public, I don't see it doing gangbuster business.
You know, I kind of actually agree because I think Verdum is okay as a star. Miocic is a guy. And I think that the show took a major, major hit when Anderson Silva was gone. Like, as soon as he's off the show, you go from, oh my gosh, you got Vitor Belfort and Jacare and Verdum and Anderson Silva and Damian Maia. But Anderson Silva is like, he's that kind of guy where if he headlines a show, it's okay. But if he's like second or third from the top, and I've talked about this a long time in the past, and Matt Hughes was the best example, where there are guys who reach a point in their career where their value is to make depth on a pay-per-view or a regular card. And everybody goes, holy shit, I can see an amazing world title fight and all this other stuff. And Anderson Silva is going to be the undercard? That's awesome. And with him gone, it's like, you know, Vitor and Jacare is an awesome fight. Like, I'm really looking forward to it. It's same with
Do you think that's a close fight? I see Jacare mowing through him. I don't know, though. I mean, that's just me.
It's fucking And everybody listening is be like, well, the fight's already over, assholes. But
right. Oh, and I'll probably be called a moron for it, but
well, that's always,
I mean, I didn't even want to say it, but it's like, I don't know, man. Did you see the weigh-ins?
Yeah.
Vitor wasn't looking so hot, I didn't think. I mean, you can't base a fight on what a guy looked like a day before, but I mean, I figured Jacare would win that fight, and then after the weigh-ins, I'm like, oh my god, he's probably going to kill him. But who knows? Who knows?
It's one of those. It's Vitor, where Vitor is just, you know, a total crapshoot. Even like at this point in his career, where he's probably, I don't know if he's off everything, but he's definitely off a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I've always said that Vitor Belfort's someone that is I think he's without doubt the greatest finisher in MMA history. If he thinks someone's hurt, he will.
Oh, he swarms them. Yeah.
Like the great example is when he fought Akiyama. Akiyama just slipped. Vitor thought he was hurt and finished him because he had the confidence. He is such a mental fighter. And, you know, he's got all the physical tools. Even in, you know, all in a modern era without as many drugs, and I guess he's taken it to heart, which good for him, I guess. I don't know. And a lot of other people haven't, but whatever. It's weird because you got this guy who's like a god at times, but he will always, forever and ever be known as a letdown, basically.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at his record since like 07, let's say, he's only lost three fights out of like his last, geez, I don't even know, 13 fights. I think he's like 10-3 in his last 13. And he's lost to Weidman, Jones, and Anderson Silva. Like, that's pretty impressive. Obviously. But at the same time, some of the guys he's beat, it's been like he's beat Henderson twice. Remember the Anthony Johnson fight? He even beat Anthony Johnson.
He tapped him out.
But right now, like, you would see that as a major mismatch. You would think Johnson would mow through him. So I don't know. I don't know. I just feel like Jacare is a couple years younger, doesn't have the wear and tear, and I feel like he's still progressing. Where Vitor probably isn't, but who knows?
I also think there's just the fact that you can see just this stark line of demarcation of TRT and no TRT with Vitor Belfort. You know, when he blitzed and knocked out Bisping and Rockhold in just spectacular fashions, he looked great. He looked physically great. All this shit. And
yeah.
All of a sudden, even though USADA showed up and Vitor didn't look as great.
Right. I even think, like, the Rockhold fight, though, that was the 1 out of 10 he beat him. Like, if they fought 10 times, I see Rockhold winning that fight, the majority of them. But that's just me. The way Weidman walked through him, I was like, all right, this is nearing the end. But we'll see. We'll see, obviously.
Rockhold's an interesting one because, like, he's not a spring chicken either. Like, he's in his...
What is he, 33? 32, 33?
As a 33-year-old, that's really old. But he's not quite, you know, John Jones, Ronda, Connor, all these guys who we think of as a few... Like, fucking Jose Aldo's younger than him, which is insane when you think about it. And so yeah. I feel like we're due for that next great middleweight to emerge.
Sure.
To show up. Like, I don't know who it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be Uriah Hall or anything like that. But I don't know. Is there anybody out there, you know, in any weight class that you look at and you think, I want to just talk about this guy. This is my dude. Because you got the floor. Talk about whatever you fucking want. We're going to go with it. And then I'll ask you some random shit about what I've written down over the week as I walked around Chicago.
Off the top of my head, I don't. But let's pull up the rankings here because those are real.
Let's go to flyweight. Demetrius Johnson, Henry Cejudo. Do you think? Okay, here's one. He fights tomorrow night. If John Lineker could, and it's a big could, make 125, could he beat Demetrius Johnson?
No, I don't think so.
Can anyone?
Right now, it's tough. I mean, I'm looking at the list. He's already beat most of these guys. I mean, the only challenge he really had, which was looking back on it kind of weird, was that first McCall fight where
Yeah.
McCall like was pounding him out. He might have been McCall could have finished that fight. I felt like in the third round, I was like, it was bizarre because he started like showboating, and then did that fight go to a draw, and then they had a rematch or something? Yeah, and McCall. I don't even know whatever even happened to him.
Like, it's funny because, yeah, that was the last time that granted, it was his first fight at 125. Nonetheless, I thought Ian McCall won that fight. But
Yeah.
he got beat soundly in the second fight, and ever since then, Mighty Mouse has just been unbeatable at 125.
Right. I mean, the second best guy in the division's Benavidez. And he's already lost to him twice, and once by knockout.
Yeah, same with like Dodson, lost twice.
Now Dodson's moved up to
That's
because
true.
there's nothing left for him in
Yeah.
flyweight. Kind of, Dodson's almost like Rich Franklin in that regard. He lost to Anderson twice and then just moved up because it's like, what am I going to do? Be a gatekeeper at 185? So Dodson kind of did the same thing. Except he never had the title. I don't know.
All right,
What do you think? How about Tough? What do you think of Tough? Have you heard that story?
yeah, it's a gimmick. Who the fuck
But they're going to
knows?
have Cejudo and Benavidez coach guys who currently aren't in the UFC. They're going to get the best guys from whatever Titan or Legacy or whatever it might be. Bring them into a house with two guys who have already lost Demetrius, and then they're going to coach them up to beat him eventually.
Like
Like, what is that? It's kind of
that.
interesting. It's different, I guess, but on the surface, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Like, at the very least, I could have had Demetrius Johnson coaching them so he would lose some time training. No, they're just making Mighty Mouse stronger as he watches these dudes train. I presume it'll be part of, like, the December mega weekend that they do or whatever, where they'll have, like, or maybe November this year with, I don't know how the fuck it's gonna work, but it's very odd. Like they've done it before, where obviously the women's strawweight title was decided because of the Ultimate Fighter, but they were all really
Correct.
good, and we had the comeback Ultimate Fighter season 4 when Matt Serra knocked out George St. Pierre and the total fluke. But this is like I don't know who these guys are. Maybe they're gonna bring in a bunch of ultra great guys. I doubt it.
They're probably already in the company.
Yeah,
Who would it be?
exactly. Like numbers 8 through 15. Like I don't know. Like it's Demetrius Johnson. He's so far ahead of everyone. And I would say, yo, he should move up to 135. But I've seen what he can do with Dominic Cruz, and Dominic Cruz is maybe even. Well, personally, I think he's the greatest fighter of all time. But I think, old Mighty Mouse is just in that position where he's better than everyone he can fight.
Yeah, absolutely.
But enough about fighting, because we're going to go on for like fucking 20 minutes. Fuck this shit. So, like, wine, is that not correct?
A little bit.
What's your preference?
Beer.
That's not a fucking wine. I'm drinking boxed wine right now.
Okay. What do you got, red or white?
I got a red. I got a Capsov.
Okay. All right.
That's my
Yeah,
go.
I mean, basic long story short, the restaurant I currently work in, we expanded the wine list a lot. And I know this is boring and no one cares, but
Fuck them.
we've won some awards for our wine list, that sort of thing. So
Ooh.
I kind of brushed up on wine just so I would know what the hell I was talking about if somebody asked me. Do I drink wine a lot? No, I'm more of a beer guy.
Gay.
But I had to brush up on it, so I knew what the hell I was talking about.
What, what? Oh, someone orders a filet mignon. What wine do you
Yeah,
recommend?
probably a cab, something heavy that'll hold up to it. You want a full-bodied full-bodied red. You wouldn't want something like a Pinot Noir or Beaujolais or something like that. You need something that'll hold up to the grilling of the steak, you know?
Yeah, cab's good. Do you find that a Merlot is heavier or lighter than a cab?
Typically lighter.
Which, it's funny, a typically. Lot of people, everybody says that, but when I drink a Merlot, I find it to be the heaviest of all the reds.
Well, I mean, everybody tastes different things in wines. Like, you'll see those wine shows where they swirl the wine around, they sniff it, and they'll say, oh, I'm getting rose petals, or I'm getting ash, or whatever, red berries, dark berries, chocolate, pencil shavings. There's a million different descriptors people use. But if I picked up a glass of wine and gave it a sniff and somebody else did, we might smell two totally different things and taste two different things. So I'm always of the mind that I try and get people wine I think they'll like, not something that I'll like. That's just by talking to them and asking what they normally drink. What do you normally like to drink, you know?
Yeah, that's actually an exceptional attitude, because the one good thing that my evil bitch of an ex-wife gave me in life – is my appreciation for wine, and I spent a lot of time with a classically trained sommelier who always bragged about, I have a dangerous amount of wine knowledge, and I always rolled my eyes and just drank more wine. Like, I gotta get through this shit. And
does that mean, a dangerous amount of wine knowledge? I'd be curious to know more.
I don't know what that means. Like, it can really knock out like a 20-year-old, you know, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. But personally,
I mean, I've worked with wine a long time. I've been in restaurants since I was a kid, since I was 15 years old. So I've been around wine and beer and that sort of thing. It's just part of the business. But bottom line is, it's fermented grape juice. You know what I mean? That's the bottom line. You can make it more complicated. There's a lot of different rules and laws in France and Italy, and they're real strict about how they make the wine and what grapes it can be and that sort of thing. And you can get really involved and deep into it and spend your life learning about wine. I've got other stuff going on, and I don't love wine that much, but I know enough to say, you know what, if Riesling's my favorite white wine, I'm familiar with wine, but right. I haven't spent – I mean, there's that master sommelier thing, which is insane. Like, people take that test 10 times over and don't pass it. You got to be able to taste, like, 10 different wines and – 15 minutes and name where they're from and what the grape is, and you have no idea what it is, and that's a whole nother level. That's an elite wine expert who can do that sort of thing, and that's not me.
I mean, that is a man disguising alcoholism behind, you know, intellectualism, basically.
Yeah, it could be.
And to me, it's like, I know my Cab Sauv, Merlot. I'm a huge fan of Malbec. I love Malbec. You give me a Malbec from anywhere, I love it.
Like Argentina?
Yeah,
exactly. Mostly, or?
It's all Argentina. Yeah, I love Malbecs. Yeah. And to me, it's like, I know that those are the kind of wines to go with, you know, red meat. But if you have chicken or...
Malbec and a burger, it's great.
Yeah, that's what I had tonight because I'm a fat ass. And, you know, if you're going to do like fish or chicken... Maybe you want something a little lighter, yeah. A Riesling is a little sweet, but something in the white wine range for sure goes along with those things. Yeah. Listening to this, give a shit that we're talking about wine and, you know, food pairings. But fuck them.
You can get a good bottle of wine for $10 if you go to the right place and you ask for the right thing at the liquor store. I mean, you could spend $10 on a 6-pack of great IPA if you wanted to. It's all relative. I mean, there's the argument that price and quality don't go hand in hand with wine. There can be really expensive bottles that are really disappointing, and you can buy a $10 bottle and you'll love it. So there's like a snob. There's a snob factor with wine, and I think that's just the wine culture and the sommelier thing and pouring a taste and the whole ritual at the restaurant where you got to uncork it and put the cork on the table, that whole deal. But it doesn't have to be. That's just something people created for some reason.
I can say this with, you know, the authority of a man who had one experience one time, which totally is scientifically proven. But I belong to a winery nearby, Linford Winery. Join them at their Roselle Road and some of the, I don't know.
Is this a winery like Central Time somewhere in Illinois?
Yeah, it's Central Time where the real people live. Fuck off, you East
Coast
bastard.
Okay, fair enough.
Fucking East Coast bullshit. Hey, what East Coast teams are still playing in the fucking playoffs?
I have no idea.
Exactly. Anyways.
But even if they were, I probably wouldn't know.
Well, I know the Bruins ain't, so whatever.
I know they didn't make the playoffs. I know that much.
Yeah. So anyways, I went to this winery a lot, and I learned a lot from them. That's where I met the douchebags. Sure. Like, I have a dangerous amount of wine knowledge and shit like that.
Yeah.
And
you don't hear much about wine coming from Illinois.
They bottle it here, but a lot of their grapes come from the Seattle area,
like Napa. Seattle, okay,
yeah. And Seattle's okay. Big. Every time I go up to Seattle, I stop by some of the local places there, and I let fat ass Tony take me about, and I gay it up, and he's like, whatever. And then we go someplace where they're like, oh, this is high end whiskey. We're like, okay, I'll just take a shot of that. And next thing I know, I'm passed out naked on this couch in front of his children.
That sounds like an awesome time.
It's sadly, it's not the most traumatic thing that ever happened to the children either. But one of the things I did have, I can't believe that I can remember my thoughts, is with my ex-wife, the bitch, and her mom, my ex-mother-in-law, who was actually kind of nice, we bought so much wine once that they're like, you get the $100 bottle of wine for free. I'm like, oh. What the fuck? Like, I'm used to this, like,
that's a lot of wine.
I'm like, I'm used to like a $12 bottle of, you know, whatever. I'm like, sure. $100, are you shitting me? So they poured me a glass and I drunk it. And I'm like, okay. Like, that's it? Like, I thought for sure $100 right. Bottle of wine. I'm like, this should, like, you know, blow my socks off. I should be dancing around the room. Like, I should need, like, new underwear. Like, this should be the most amazing thing ever. And it wasn't. It was just, you know, it was good. But, yeah, absolutely. The concept, I think, behind wine and even probably food and all kinds of shit. It's like, don't go crazy. Don't buy the cheap shit. Don't buy the cheap shit unless you're a degenerate like I am. But if you know how to prepare things, whether it's wine or meat or eggs or anything, you're probably better off learning than you are buying expensive shit. Does that sound about right?
Yeah. I mean, if you don't know what you're drinking, it's like, what's the point? I mean, the weird thing with wine is some of it can get so expensive because there's not a lot of it produced. It's a supply and demand thing. There can be small little vineyards in Burgundy where they only produce, you know, 100 cases of wine a year. And Burgundy's known for, you know, great wines, and it's hard to get. It's like baseball cards. Is one baseball card really worth any more than another one? No. I mean, you can light a fire with either one of them, but there's an implied value because it's hard to get. You can't get Honus Wagner rookie card or whatever it is because there's only a few of them out there, so the demand goes up. It's a supply and demand sort of thing. You can get a lot of Malbec for cheap money now because Argentina's pumping it out because it's popular.
As I drink a box of it right now, what the fuck we at? Fuck, you're 36 minutes. That's fucking good. We'll finish up by saying, are you going to vote for Donald Trump?
Very skeptical. I think you know the answer to that. No, I'm not.
I like that. No, pause.
Well, I was thinking I was going to try and give a reason for it. And then I'm like, you know what? I mean, to me, a lot of people are. Millions of people are voting for him. I'm not one of them, though.
It's funny because, like, I didn't vote for Trump either. I think I meant to vote for Rubio, but I clicked Cruz on accident because, you know, they're both Latino and it's Illinois and it doesn't matter. But right.
Trump won Illinois, right?
Oh, he won everything.
He won most every state. Yeah. I mean, Cruz got a couple and Rubio won one. I think Kasich won one as well. But yeah.
And it's funny because, like, I actually wrote this on a friend's Facebook page where I don't get it. I don't, like, understand it. But I think that says more about me than it does about the people voting, because that's like 12 to 15 million people who are voting for him.
And yeah, so I mean, I have a tough time with it.
Like, if I don't,
because it's like there's. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, I think that he appeals to a giant group of people who are, I don't want to say disenfranchised because that's bullshit, but like people who have been ignored, and suddenly there's a dude speaking to them like, yeah, yeah, that's me. And it's this crossover appeal of blue-collar Republicans, which have been lost to the Republican Party for generations. Because they always voted Democrat because of economic issues. Trump comes along and says, I love Jesus just like you do. I hate abortion just like you do. They're like, oh, yeah, I hate gays. Oh, yeah, I hate the gays. And I'm going to make sure that we have high tariffs and you're going to get your union jobs. They're like, oh, shit, this dude's like the best ever. He's got this weird, yeah, like,
it's amazing. It's amazing that if it's like you say, mostly blue collar voters voting for him, that they're voting for the guy who's got the most money and is a multi-billionaire. There's like a paradox there that I can't wrap my head around. But again, literally millions of people are voting for him. I don't see it, but obviously, I mean, you hate to say that the media plays a big part, but it clearly does. I mean, if you put on the news, whether it's whatever channel you go to, whether it's CNN, Fox News, or MSNBC, it's going to be Trump. I mean, he's the draw right now. He's the Conor McGregor of politics. And I think that sways people when they go in to vote. It's like, oh, I'll vote for Trump. He's the one I know. What percentage of Americans know who John Kasich is? You know what I mean?
Well, exactly. Like I wrote up several pieces, and one of them was like why people should not vote, and it reflected on somebody I was dating at the time, and they went to vote in the primary, and they did not know that the president could not introduce legislation. Which, okay, that's not like the biggest fuck up ever. At the same time, this is someone with a master's degree and a bunch of other shit. I'm like, you don't know what the president does. Why are you voting? Like, you cannot tell me what the Supreme Court, the Senate, the House, and the president do. You are not qualified to vote, but that's 99.999% of people.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a fun election. I can tell you that much. I mean, I went to school for history. I love elections. I love politics. It's gonna be very, very interesting because who knows what'll happen with Hillary? And her and Trump are gonna have some very entertaining debates. Very entertaining.
All I can imagine is Hillary gets the nomination. It gets indicted. Trump gets indicted for, you know, one of his 5,000 things that exist in the world. And yeah, we have the first ever impeached before a sworn in president.
I bet there's some betting odds out there on one of them getting impeached. There has to be. There has to be some kind of money line or something out there on that. I mean, it's going to be fun.
I honestly, like, I'm really looking forward to it. We did something at halfguarded.com, which is the Hillary Clinton lies page. I've created it where I'm just going to post things that are basically lies, but semi-truthful to see if any of Hillary Clinton's operatives will try to stop us from posting things, because she's spending seven figures to control what the online media says. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe she's doing this. But I'm like, that's a good idea. Like, that's what you should do. Like, That's where Bernie Sanders' entire support comes from.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. People can spin it as, you know, freedom of speech, and I mean, she'll take heat for it. Especially if people know about it. I mean, you're talking about it right now. Obviously, it's out there to a certain degree. But I can see Trump calling her, you know, obviously he's going to call her a liar, but on top of it, trying to cover up people's opinions and freedom of speech. And obviously there's some hypocrisy there with him kicking out protesters and stuff like that. It's going to be very interesting.
I just realized it. You and I, Matt Grady from HalfGuarded.com, are going to be doing a simulcast Mystery Science Theater type deal when Hillary and Donald Trump debate. Holy shit. That might be the most amazing moment in the history of American television. That's like Nixon and JFK as far as changing the landscape of America forever.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. The one other thing, though, real quick, with the whole election thing, and I love this. If you look back at all the elections since Kennedy Nixon, because that was the first one that had televised debates, usually the more charismatic person wins. The person you tend to like and trust more is the person who wins. The person who presents better on TV is the one who wins. It's like if you look back, it's like George Bush, the second. He beat Al Gore and John Kerry, two guys who were pretty robotic, not a lot of personality. He beat them. And then Obama beats, you know, McCain. Clinton beats Dole. If you look back, it's always the more charismatic person who won. Reagan won two elections. He was an actor. There's something to that. But when you look at Trump and Hillary, it's like, geez, who's the more likable, charismatic, trustworthy person?
Trump.
I don't know. I don't know. It's crazy. That's what I'm saying. This election is like none other ever before that I in American history. It's very unique.
The difference between the two of them is that Hillary has all of these negatives, and so does Trump. But Trump is just like, I don't give a fuck. Let's move on.
Right.
Let's talk about something else. Yeah. Yeah, I have a lot of really attractive wives. You know why? Because I'm a good-looking guy. I have attractive women around me. Don't you want attractive women? I'm going to build a wall full of attractive women, and they're going to guard the whole fucking thing. Hillary's not going to do that. She's going to put a bunch of ugly lesbians. And people are like, how can you say that? Like, what did I say? What's wrong? Like, he has the magical ability to say the dumbest shit and get away with it because he just says something dumber later on.
People forget about the previous dumb ones.
They really do. Like, this is a man that went on television and explicitly said, Megyn Kelly is coming after me because she's having her period, and nobody talks about it anymore. Like, what the fuck? And meanwhile, I step into a voting booth as a relatively right-wing guy, and I look at there, and I just see Donald Trump's name, and I'm like, I can't do it. I cannot bring myself to vote for someone that's a reality television star. Like, this is a guy that feuded with Omarosa. Was it WrestleMania?
You shaved Vince McMahon. He took a stunner. Exactly. He's the only presidential candidate who's ever taken a stunner.
Like, he found it. he gave some bullshit support to Affliction. And in theory, helped Ben Rothwell get $250,000. And I want this motherfucker to determine my Social Security? I don't think so.
Yeah. That's very true.
Oh, fuck. All right, Matt. We've gone for a long while now. And you got, like, a wife and children and shit like that. And I got dogs and more alcohol. And it's almost.
Hey, what? One more question. Yeah. Puggles.
Yeah.
We're worst creatures on Earth.
Oh, what the fuck? Fuck, did you just fucking... Are you out of your fucking mind?
No, I've got one.
I got two.
I know. Oh, I know. There's so many issues with this dog. We've got allergies. We had to get a tumor removed out of her side for $1,000. She peed on the couch last night. She destroys all the kids' toys. You've got none of that with your dogs.
Well, we've had no allergies or tumors. We have two of them.
Okay.
We have Mickey, the big the small Puggle, and Samson, the big Puggle. Samson came along first. My dipshit loser brother got him the first week I started law school, because what else do you want when you're starting law school but a fucking howling puppy? Oh, yeah. And then we got Mickey like half a year later. And Mickey is the alpha dog by far. Like, he controls everything. Sam is just his bitch. It's awful. Mickey, though, has a pissing problem where if I don't sleep on the couch, which translates to if I don't pass out on the couch, he'll piss. Like, I sleep on a cot in a basement.
Things are going good for you, huh?
I bought the fucking house. I had to sleep here to make people feel better.
Okay.
Whatever. Shut up. So I sleep on a cot, and sometimes Mickey, Alpha Dog, sleeps with me at my feet. If he doesn't sleep with me, he sleeps on the couch, and he pisses on the couch every single fucking time. Like, I'm not kidding when I say I went to the Salvation Army. I have a blanket on top of it. I took the couch cushions. I wrapped them in garbage bags just so he would not stain my mother's nice couch, because he's got some psychological issue where he has to piss on everything in the market.
Mm. Yeah. Nature's miracle. Is that the PP cleaner you use?
I just put it in the washing machine. I don't do anything else.
Yeah. We've got carpets, and we got a lot of issues.
Yeah, this is an unfinished basement that is concrete.
Gotcha.
I live like in a fucking Russian gulag, basically. And these are amazing, amazing creatures. I mean, they are half-breed monsters, no doubt. Yes. But I always laugh when I see, like, pictures of you on Facebook with, like, you know, your very lovely wife and your children and your Puggle. I'm like, what the fuck? It's like the bizarro me. It's like the me that made it in the world. What the fuck is going on?
I don't know. I started watching MMA when I was 14.
Didn't help, did it?
No, I haven't turned back. It was wrestling then the MMA. I don't watch much wrestling anymore, but yeah.
All right, everybody. We'll finish up this portion of the show, and this may be the entire show because I don't know what the fuck's going on next, with Matt Grady. Matt writes, and I say that in all sincerity, some of the best work we feature at halfguarded.com. He basically has something every week, and I would say that of his columns, 50 to 75% of them are something that you will go, holy shit. The other 25% are good, but three out of four times you will read something he writes, you go, well, at least I will. I go, why did I not think of that? Why did I not take that angle? It's outstanding work at halfguarded.com. Just search through all of Matt's stuff. It's amazing. It's very well written, and it shows that, you know, if someone has half a brain, you can do well in this sport. And he has more than half a brain. So, Matt, anything to plug? I don't know. You got anything to plug? Plug your friend.
Not really. No.
Plug your restaurant.
Yeah, right. There's probably not a lot of people locally listening to this, but thanks for having me on. I appreciate you letting me write for the site, and hopefully it keeps growing.
Yeah, no. Wait. Plug the restaurant and tell them if Mike Coffin says I sent you, you'll give him a free appetizer.
It's Scargo Cafe. If you're ever in Massachusetts, Cape Cod, mid-Cape area, this is probably a shot in the dark. Ask for me. I will buy you an appetizer.
Fantastic. Oh, I can't wait to go to fucking Cape Cod. Oh, shit. All right, Matt. I want to thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
You got it.
All right. I'll talk to you soon, dude.
All right. Take it easy.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
The Half-Guarded Hour here at halfguarded.com is proudly sponsored by Valtrex, because Valtrex has very good metrics and can tell exactly what this audience is. And I guess all of you need Valtrex. So don't feel ashamed. It's okay. You do what you do. And it doesn't matter because Valtrex is there. So go buy some Valtrex and mention Half Guarded Hour for a discount of some sort.
Yeah.
You picked it up.
What are you doing?
What do you think I'm fucking doing?
You calling me?
Yeah, I called you twice. I called your wife twice. She wouldn't pick it up.
I told her you're recording show. Don't answer.
Well, that's a good suggestion. I'm fucking bored, and I got like 5 minutes to fill.
I don't really like talking to you on the phone. It's weird.
You don't like doing this because it's weird?
Well, because talking to you on the phone, that's just weird.
Yeah, that's right. I called you.
You know what I mean? How many times do we ever talk on the phone?
Well, we talked the time when I didn't.
That's fucking weird.
I didn't record it right before. Where are you right now?
I'm upstairs.
Okay.
I moved my Cliff took my old room, you know that little room, and I went back into the theater where you were sleeping.
Wait, he took that fucking room? Time.
Yeah, I put him down there, and then I took the big room.
So his brain cells are dead.
Yeah. it's probably fine now.
Damn, I fucking love that room.
Yeah.
Shit. I tried calling, your wife, but she didn't pick it up.
Yeah.
Where the fuck
is she? Smart.
Oh, that's bull. Is she really?
No, but yeah, whatever.
I already had somebody on the show for like fucking 40 minutes and tried calling other people, but like they have their lives and shit.
Nobody
like
wants to answer phone. They see Mike Coffin on their readout and they say, oh, fuck, I'm not answering that.
Yeah.
Pretty much what happens.
And I got the fucking shit working now. Like, it'll sound pretty fucking good for, you know, $10 every couple of weeks as opposed to, you know, $5,000 in fucking studio equipment. Not that I'm talking about anybody in particular, but you know, fuck.
Yeah, that would take half guarded. How long to recoup the costs?
Hey, if people keep want me to write fucking articles for $70 a piece, we'll be doing that shit in no time. What the fuck is up with that shit, too?
Oh, we've gotten F4W gets those offers all the time, and I'm like, you know, that's not happening. One, not just for $50, and two, I don't think I could do it for $500.
On the other hand,
there's something. Half guarded will.
Oh, well. I'll,
dirty horse.
I will fucking bend over, spread those cheeks.
You might have done it for free, so.
Oh, for sure. Like a fucking link back? Yeah, whatever you want to fucking write.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's happened in Seattle?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Lots of baseball. Just got back from a baseball game. Got three games tomorrow, at least two Sunday.
Fuck.
Yeah.
You guys going to get a basketball team?
A who?
Are you going to get a basketball team?
Basketball team? Oh, no. No, they voted that down. The fucking idiot voted that down.
I saw the vote it was like 5-4 and all 5 votes were women.
Yeah, and all 4 yes votes were dudes.
Like,
yes.
Like seriously, so, like, not to be too sexist on this show where we admit that women are nothing but holes, but still, like that's a fucking joke.
It was really obvious. It becomes very obvious what's going on there, and well, yeah. And plus it's Seattle. Seattle and in this state, they think they want to think they're all liberal and all that good stuff, but really they're just faking it.
It's like you should you can't actually run for like Seattle border and shit like that given where you live.
I couldn't. No, I'm not in Seattle. Yeah.
Like, fucking bullshit. Damn it to hell. Whatever, I'm gonna fucking live there someday. But start a petition and be like, if we have a basketball team, that will increase the number of minority residents in Seattle, and that's a good thing. I got fucking nothing. Like, I got all these dumbass fucking notes like I wrote over the week. Like, when I was listening, I was listening to a podcast, and this fucking bitch, that's the only way to describe it, just this fucking no good, useless cunt. And she talked about the Christian book. I'm like, you can't say Bible. Like, really?
What?
Like, would you ever say...
What's she talking about?
She's talking about the Bible. Like, you would never say the Muslim book.
Is she a Christian saying it that way, or is she just trying to be a...
She's like a hippy-dippy Buddhist type of shit and all that.
Oh, okay. So she's kind of... She's almost kind of insulting it.
Yeah, like,
then.
The Christian books. Fuck off. Say the Bible. Say the Quran. Like, who gives a shit, right? Like, that's what we call it.
Yeah, it's that's what they call it. It doesn't... She's trying to take the meaning away from the word.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Actually, this is a good one I wrote down. And you can make fun of me on here at Half-Guarded Hour on halfguarded.com. Everybody keep listening and join halfguarded.com. I had a flat tire this week, and I had to call a human being to fix my flat tire. What do you think of this?
You? Well, number one, why don't you have a – you didn't have a jack? Or you didn't have a wrench, one of the two,
in your car. Actually, I had both, apparently.
Or you couldn't find it.
I had them both.
What's that now?
I had the jack, the wrench, and the spare.
And why did you call somebody then?
I never done it before.
Because I think at first you were telling me you were missing a piece
something. I lied to protect myself.
You probably just didn't want to name it, buddy. It doesn't surprise. The sad part here is it doesn't surprise me.
I know. Like, I really want to know how to do this stuff, but I'm proud of, like...
It's not hard.
I know it's not hard. People that are really dumb do this, so I should be able to do it, right?
Well, you need to know a few details, like where do you put the jack? Because you can't just put the jack anywhere on the underneath of the car and lift it up. If you put it in the wrong spot, you're going to damage your car. You might lift it and be able to, you know, change the tire, but you might damage the body of your vehicle, which I've seen somebody do.
No, there's a special spot on my car where, like, you're supposed to put the jack. I actually know that spot. I don't know why, but whatever.
Yeah, so then you're fine there. And you really don't have to put the car up very high. That's the other mistake I see people do, is they put it up really high when they really only have to get it up high enough to get the tire off.
I felt some credibility when I realized that the dude that showed up to do it had to, like, drive my car up on a bunch of like blocks and shit like that, like a special lift just to get to the tire. I don't know what the fuck.
What?
I don't know. Like, I'm not a fucking...
Oh, he had to move it to a spot where he was safer doing it?
Yeah.
Is that what you're telling me?
Like, he had to bring his
You don't want to do it on certain surfaces. Yes.
Well, he brought, like, his Mack truck shit, brought some stuff down, had put some two wooden planks down to raise it up. And all that shit. So I'm like, I don't have any wood on me because obviously I'm soft as shit. So it didn't work that way. So, anyways.
No, sometimes in the end, even though your car is probably worth, what, $200? That's the issue. Right?
Yeah, no, I get you. All right, fuck that shit. I'm just gonna move on. I don't give a shit.
Okay.
You hear about
we could sit on that one forever.
Yeah, I'm a bitch. We get it. Did you hear about the teenager that got suspended for a while for showing his dick in the yearbook photo?
A yearbook photo. How did he do that? Like, how did he do that? How did he show his dick in the yearbook photo?
He was like you and I, where he was on the football team, and somebody said, why don't you put, like, the tip of your dick out? And so, like, he pulled the tip of his dick out over his pants in the football team photo, and it got into the school yearbook. Mm-hmm. And he got charged with 69 counts of indecent exposure for felony molestation.
Wow.
Yeah, they eventually dropped.
That's a little bit overboard, huh?
Like, they eventually dropped the charges and all that shit, but all I can think is, like, all he did was put, like, I don't know, like, he fucking went streaking, basically. Like, what the fuck? Like, are you kidding me? This is a fucking felony?
Is it wrong of me that I want to see, I'm looking it up right now, and I'm like, why are you guys blurring this shit out? Just gonna show it.
Like, picture,
why blur it out? What's the point?
Like, isn't the appropriate response to basically have everybody's dick be out?
Like, well, something like that.
Like, those other dudes are just, you know, cowards.
That's awesome. That's a great fucking high school prank.
Yeah. Oh.
One of us should have been the judge. Should have been the judge or the prosecutor on this, and just laughing. Come on, guys. This is stupid. This is funny. So the victims of this crime. Who were the victims of this crime?
No one. I'm guessing this is the kind of dude that would sleep with anyone. So no one's a victim.
Yeah, because I mean, yeah, I opened that book and I saw his dick, and you know.
I feel like this.
I'm sorry, but it's funny.
Like, in like 24 hours, he went from the greatest legend in the history of that school to, oh my gosh, you're a sexual predator. Oh my, yeah.
Oh, well, here's. That's really funny because this is the other funny part. He was a 19-year-old senior when he got busted for it, and it was last year's picture. So it went unnoticed, and he didn't get in trouble for a whole year. It wasn't like they printed it and go, "Hey, look at that!" I mean, that means that everybody had seen it, and then somebody, some douchebag whistleblower, turned him in for it, and so some douchebag lawyer, yeah. Decided, oh, there must be something we can get him for.
I like when you say douchebag lawyer. Like, I'm going to be offended by that.
Oh, well, I know. You know you're all douchebags. But here's the other funny part. Now, so he probably did it as an 18-year-old sophomore. Let's think back to how old we all were as sophomore, or excuse me, not sophomore, junior, 18-year-old junior, and a 19-year-old senior. So we can... pay attention to how smart this guy was.
Like, honestly,
but still funny.
Like, at that age, if I had the chance to show my dick to anyone, I would fucking whip it out in a second. I don't care how fat, short, ugly, pimply, old. I don't give a shit. It's like the fucking, like, ugly ass gym teacher who may or may not be female. But yeah, you want to see it? Yeah, like. This guy is a
okay.
Legend.
No, he's a legend. He's a legend. This is stupid. He just should just stay as the legend you showed a dick. So Hunter Osborne is his name, but he's charged with 69 counts because there were 69 people present that day.
How is this 69?
Himself. And he's also facing one count of furnishing harmful items to minors. Is that not the funniest? I mean, how is that even possible? How would that even get beyond the first day of going, okay, so let's think about this, guys. You're in court. They're going, I don't even know how to argue this because this is really stupid.
Yeah, that's where some prosecutor's like, all right, kid, do you think you can be a lawyer? Argue this one. He's like, what? What the fuck?
Yeah. I mean... Really, you walk into this and go, we are all wasting everyone's time here. Like, we should all go home right now.
Like, we all know the proper solution was to Photoshop his dick onto every other dude in that photo.
So, yeah, well, anything. Although, you know, is it wrong that I want to find an unblurred picture of this? Because this is legendary right here.
It really depends on what you want to do after you find the photo, but yeah.
I don't know. Probably go eat.
That's
pretty much my answer for everything.
You're going to go to the fucking Mexican joint?
Huh? No. Downstairs. What? Spaghetti, maybe? Yeah.
Tell your wife to pick up her fucking phone.
I have to drive. So I have to be at 7:15 at a place that's 40 minutes away tomorrow. So
40 fucking minutes?
I gotta go to bed early.
My whole life is 40 minutes away.
That's not how it works for me. Like, most of Carlos's regular season games, his rec league team, are only 15 minutes away at best.
I have all these fucking notes I've written over like the past 2 weeks. They don't really make sense.
Okay, what's the next item, dude?
Kentucky Derby.
Yeah?
Do you care about the Kentucky
I saw some
Derby?
Horse won it. You know, every couple of years here, we talk about somebody winning the Triple Crown, right? It's the Preakness, the Kentucky Derby, and I don't remember the last one.
Belmont.
I don't know what order they're in. Okay, so I don't get it. People get I get it even less than I do golf.
And a horse won it last year.
Why do people care? No, I thought he didn't.
No, the horsey.
It came down to the last race again, or actually, I don't even know.
No, the horsey won it all last year. So, like, who gives a shit now? The other shit I have written down is my flat tire. We went over that. It just says teen exposes cock in yearbook photo. So that's done.
Yeah. Yes.
These fucking dipshits I work with where this fucking, fuck's sake. The problem is I've texted this all to you, so who gives a shit? This buttfucker who is in the same area as I am in a cubicle brings his own fucking coffee maker to work.
You've told me that.
Yeah.
There is a community of coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
Correct?
There's a community pot, all right. And this fucker makes his own, and I actually recorded exactly what he said. He goes, "I'm not a coffee snob. I just have to grind my own beans. They're from Ethiopia."
Yeah, so that's a coffee snob.
Yeah, you're
Being out here, we have a lot more of those.
And you're a butter...
Out here, and it's... I like butter on everything.
Did you, I was listening to Rogan. Rogan and Keith Jardine got that.
Yeah.
Is that what you got, the bulletproof coffee?
Bulletproof, yeah. It's basically MCT oil, butter, and coffee.
And do you think that improved your life?
Yes. I think Rogan said it makes me want to go kick a crocodile in the dick. It's pretty much like that.
Yeah,
it's
fair enough.
It's a good pick-me-up.
For every three people listening right now, that's a ringing fucking endorsement. The rest of the shit I get rid of?
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, the final thing is, fuck it, end the podcast on this guy. I don't give a shit. Is I've created the post. I know you don't go to fucking halfguarded.com, even though it's like the one website that actually works for you.
I go there once or twice a week.
Which is bullshit, because the only website that works. I created the anchor post about Hillary Clinton lies. Because...
Yes, I saw. I did see that go by one of my feeds, yeah.
Yeah, Hillary has upwards of $1 million plus devoted to paying people to go on the internet and correct incorrect statements about her. And so
that's pretty bad.
My goal is to get one of these people to spend their time on halfguarded.com.
That's a good plan.
Like, I'm writing all kinds of weird shit. Like, she's a lesbian. She murdered this person. She's responsible for Benghazi. Do you have anything about Hillary Clinton you want to tell the listening public, all three people? Although this will be the first ever episode that goes on iTunes. So.
Oh, fancy. Oh, you figured out how to get it on iTunes?
No, but like,
are you trying?
Like, I know.
I know you asked me. I probably should.
Like, I know what the, I know what the artwork needs to be. I've been working on the artwork for certain square shit. Oh. Whatever.
Yeah, it's all stupid stuff in the back end of what is it called? WordPress.
All I know is that we got people.
You get it all.
We have people on the site already doing podcasts on iTunes, and I'm smarter than that. So.
Yeah, you should be able to figure it out.
Yeah, fuck.
If not, then.
Fuck Hillary Clinton. Oh, all right. You'll like this. The fucking. Not the coffee snob, but the cunt next to him that he hits on, even though they're both married. She's like in her mid 30s, and she marries some older dude, and they both have. And now she has stepsons in their 20s.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah. She said, I don't know how beef could get any more expensive. Well, the free-range, cruelty-free kind that uses all the parts of the cow that I buy, that's the fucking world she lives in, where beef is only as expensive if you buy the kind that is used by, where they use every single part of the fucking cow. Would you do that ever?
No. Because there's some nasty parts that you never want to eat. I had to, because I bought a half a cow, and I never figured out how to eat or how to cook some of the parts. Like I had the brain.
Oh fuck!
And I wanted to figure out how to cook it properly so it was good. but I never, because I wanted to be able to say, yeah, I ate a fucking cow brain. So. I wanted to be able to say I ate a cow brain, so I had it, but I didn't eat it in time. So,
Shit. You.
But no, I wouldn't say that out loud. I don't know why somebody would say that out loud. Just are they trying to stroke themselves in public?
Oh, this is the same fucking cunt that goes around talking about how like she goes to homeless shelters and she gives them her leftover vegetarian dishes. And they all looked at me really fucking weird when I looked at her. I go, they probably just want a bottle of whiskey. And she's like, no, they really want food. I'm like, no, they really want alcohol. And then I put my headphones on.
Yeah.
To listen to shit.
People don't like to hear that, though.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. Whether it's true or not.
You know, I know you want to like expand your house a little bit. This is inside baseball knowledge. You should build a chicken.
Mm-hmm.
You should get a chicken coop and have like fresh eggs.
We used to.
Really?
We used to have it. Yeah, we used to have two chickens and a little chicken coop.
When the fuck was this?
Oh. I think we gave them away 2 years ago. So we had them for probably a year and a half, maybe 2 years. They don't really produce very good eggs.
Oh, really?
After a while, yeah. And then you have to make sure you feed them decently. You know, if they don't eat well, they're not going to have good eggs out of their asses.
Oh. So, you know, just take some of your TRT and shoot it in them.
Why not? Doesn't that defeat the purpose of having your eggs, your chickens eating properly? You may as well just go get the cheap ass eggs at the store.
Well, that's what I do. But when I fucking come up there next, because I'm an egg guy now, I'm gonna eat.
Okay.
Just shut the fuck up. This is a fucking disaster. We both.
No, I have actually. No, I'll do this. We'll go to the farm that I go to get eggs. You can have high-quality eggs. And you can go back to your
job and tell her you about your awesome eggs from a farm.
The 4th of July weekend, are your kids playing baseball and everything?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Fucking damn.
It's going to be.
Why can't you raise loser kids?
I don't know.
You know, like, you could have had one of them with the middle name of Sun or something like that. Or Soleil. You know? I'm just saying. Be a fucking better than the bullshit Cliff and Carlos were like, oh, those are normal names. Fuck, they're going to crush more pussy than Mike ever did.
But before they're 20.
That is so fucking for sure, and I would just want to cry. I will be taking the sloppy, sloppy, sloppy second.
Yeah.
All right. Everybody listening right now, this is halfguarded.com. Halfguarded.com. Listen to shit. I'm done with Tony. I'm done with Matt. I did everybody I need to do. I think I'm hiccuping, so I'm obviously drunk.
I was going to say, that is sad.
I've been drinking since it's 11:30. I pounded my first drink at 4:01 p.m. That's 7 hours of boozing.
That's nice.
I walked out of the office. I'm like, yep, I'm done. Boom. And that's after I spent half the day high out off my ass. And I woke up in the morning. I'm like, I'm going to smoke a joint. And I felt fucking great for like 3 hours. Like, I had like 2 hours of work. I'm like, oh, this is what normal life is like.
So yeah, normal life is no fun.
Yeah. Let's thank Tony. Everybody, clap. This is where I would insert like a fucking clapping sound, but I'm not going to do it. His wife won't talk to us.
Okay.
And just go do your thing. All right. I'll talk to you
later. All right, dude.
All right. Bye.
Yep.
Hey, everyone. It's Mike Hofflin, founder, dude, and all-around mastermind at halfguarded.com. You're listening to the Half Guarded Hour, and I need filler in between awkward, segments. And so this is my little filler. We now rejoin the Half Guarded Hour or whatever program you're listening to, which was previously recorded in drunkenness, probably. Thanks.
Hello.
Chris?
This is Chris.
It's Mike. It's Mike Coughlin. What's up?
How are you? I'm so sorry. I was at work, and then we went out to eat type of thing, and I'm in the car right now with my girlfriend, actually.
Oh.
Leaving 7-Eleven.
No. Put the girlfriend on.
Yes, sir.
Put her on.
Not too much?
No. Put the woman on. Let's talk to her.
You want to talk to her? I'm going to have to put you on speaker because she's driving. Hold on 1 second. Let's speak her now.
I'm like, make sure to tell him. I told him all these times to pick up the phone.
She did. We were in Chili's, and she's like, answer the phone. I'm like, this could go in a really weird direction and get us kicked out. So I didn't know if it was a good idea to speak in Chili's, depending on what direction this conversation would take us.
Oh, I have no doubt that I will destroy your relationship in the next 5 minutes. Like, that's the goal of it.
She's already questioning my sexuality as it is, and we've been together since August, so.
Since August? Any questions,
Mike? August, yeah.
Wait, she say she had a question?
I don't think she did. You insisted on putting her on. You said something like, put the girl on, or I think you said that.
I did. I did for sure.
Oh, you did, yeah.
I want to know all about your, sexual proclivities.
That's not for me to determine.
That's why we have her on, you know?
That's up to you, hon.
Chris has...
Name Rachel, by the way. We'll leave last names out for now, even though it's public knowledge on Facebook.
Chris's woman, does he enjoy a little Kanye West butt play? Is that what we're talking about?
All the time.
Oh, yeah. You're a good woman, then. You know?
She's what we like to call a good egg.
Everybody who doesn't know, because I should probably introduce people on this fucking shit show of halfcredit.com. Chris is one of our most prolific writers. He's done all kinds of parody pieces. They're outstanding. They're amazing. They make me wish I was a better human being. Chris, what is your favorite thing you've written?
I'm all blushing and shit right now. Favorite? Probably Target or the Trump Game of Thrones. Actually, take that back. It's a tie between those two and the Godfather parody, the women, all women cast, spoofing the Ghostbuster deal.
You know, it's funny because you wrote that, and it seems like a spoof, but they're doing the all-girls Ghostbusters. They're going to do an all-girls version of Ocean's 11. They might do an They might do an all-girls Godfather pretty soon. Godmothers or something.
Jesus Christ. That was my whole, of all the movies that seemed the least worthy of an all-female cast. I don't give much of a shit about Ghostbusters, so I was just kind of playing with it. I don't not like it. I just never got into it. So it was more like those three articles more were playing off of like what was going on in pop culture to sort of bring eyes to the site, hopefully. Because it was, trending type shit.
Wait.
I figured Game of Thrones debut, Trump is always trending every other day, if not every day, somehow or another. And then the Target bathroom thing. And all the other stuff was more niche.
How old are you?
I'm 38.
38?
Yes, sir.
How the fuck do you not love Ghostbusters?
It's not that I don't love it. I've seen it. I'm weird in that, like, a lot of the big, I don't dislike any of these. I never got into Star Wars or was big into Ghostbusters. Like, I kind of got into Back to the Future. But things I should kind of be into based on my age, like I'm a huge Karate Kid nerd. So Karate Kid is something I would be into. That's why I despise the remake. And, but like a lot of big, big movies. I
wasn't
don't.
Even born yet. And I love Ghost.
Yeah. She's roughly 10 years younger than me. Give or take a few months.
Nice.
I figured that would give me a few points.
That's total credibility for you. I mean, it doesn't say much for her, but it says a lot for you.
I have daddy issues.
Oh, no. Trust me. As a sad, pathetic man, daddy issues are my number one fetish. Like, I hear that, and I'm like, oh, I'm totally in. Like, daddy issues.
And Mike can fight, too, so... Mike's a legit Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt and Gracie trained and, like, can fight on top of wanting women with daddy issues. That's an interesting mix.
All I know is that...
Am I with you?
Except that I don't like it. I haven't seen it in so long. If I rewatch it, I might love it. I'm just not... I don't dislike or I'm not a huge, like, whatever. It's just the idea of the... of it being all female in and of itself didn't bother me, but if they did it just because it was the politically sort of cool thing to do, then I'm like, go fuck yourself. Like at least let there be a reason behind it. I like some of those women. I like Leslie Jones. I think she's funny. Melissa McCarthy is funny sometimes from what I've seen. And the other two, I don't even know who the other two are off the top of my head.
Sadly, there's like a lot of really good female comedians, but they're not like famous.
Yeah, I'm sure. I know they're funny. Like, I'm not. I don't like. I'm not even a like. Most of my shit isn't. I'm not like. I'm all. I'm kind of a fraud. As far, like, I'll make fun of shit that I don't necessarily disagree with, just because it's to be made fun of. for the sake of comedy, or if you want to call it art. Like, it's just there, so it's all for, you know, it's all fair game. But, like, it was just the idea of, A, how mad people were that, oh, my God, it's all female. But I'd be the same if they did, like, an all-female Godfather, because I'm a mafia movie nerd. But, like, and that's why I hated the Jaden Smith. Like, why the fuck? Really? You don't even, first of all, you don't have to make Karate Kid to begin with. Hollywood in general does too many reboots as it is. Forget about the gender part of who's taking over the role. But nobody has original ideas anymore. Everything gets remade 15 years later like it's a 50-year-old classic. Because nobody has a they remade Starsky and Hutch with fucking Ben Stiller. And come on. Like, just get an idea, call it something else, and stop just taking old TV shows and old movies and calling it that without, and then especially Karate Kid. Fuck Jaden Smith, huh?
Yeah, that one was that was, I mean, I didn't see it because I'm a grown man, but
I maybe watched like 20 minutes just because I felt I had to before I shit on it prior to shitting on it, which I did anyway. And then I just turned it off. I'm like, if they didn't call it the Karate Kid, I probably wouldn't have cared nearly as much. But the fact that they had to remake the whole story, and Jackie Chan, he's fine, but he's not Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah,
like, Jaden Smith is fucking Jaden Smith.
Like, there are certain movies from like the 80s where you look at them and you're like, you know what, that could be better than it was. But then there are some movies where, like Karate Kid, where it's like, that's perfect. Or fucking Ghostbusters, which I grew up on, and it was my entire fucking life for most of my life. Ghostbusters 1, a little bit Ghostbusters 2, and especially the cartoon. And now I see four funny women, and they are not funny at all, doing my fucking shit. Now, all I can think of is, I want to fucking stab you all in the uterus.
Yeah, it's sort of an initial visceral response after. Like, I don't even watch SNL a lot, but I think Leslie Jones is pretty funny. I haven't seen enough of Melissa McCarthy. I'm sure she's probably hit and miss. I don't know. I can't. But
because he lives under a rock.
Yeah, I do. But, like, I don't know. I'm weird. But, like, just the fact that it's, like, I felt like they did it because, A, it would get attention. And it would piss off all the real Ghostbuster fans. Yeah, I don't. But like real feminists, like if you're an actual feminist, that's fine, and I'm all for equal this and that. But there's all these fake bullshit feminists that like want. Yeah, it's that whole fucking. I even put on, what was it on Facebook? It's like I can't remember his name. This guy that just schooled was the University of Massachusetts or one of them. And I'm not even, I don't take one side or another politically, left or right. I'm somewhere in the middle. He was a right-wing guy, and he just shut all these safe place, baby, college, like, safe zone fucking retards just completely, that get offended over nothing. Like, or look for things to be offended by, or that when they got upset because somebody wrote Trump in chalk on a thing, and they had to have it. Did you see that story? I wanted to fucking kick my son in the face. Just to save him from what the future is going to hold. Like, he's going to grow up in a world of just fucking horrific nonsense. Everybody's backing himself into a corner, and there's no boys, there's no girls, everybody's gray.
They're knocking his teeth out by kicking him in the face is going to help.
Well, it's like a lesson. Like, here's what's going to happen later in life when you accidentally call a woman a woman. You know what I mean? Or you're pretty. And then he gets kicked in the balls and outraged and arrested because pretty becomes a derogatory term in 10 years because he said it to a woman and it's now considered rape or harassment. Fucking, come on.
And I say this as a 33-year-old brilliant attorney at law who grew up in, and I went to the University of Iowa. I was a conservative kid, and every single idea I had for 4 years was shit on. Like, there was no safe zone for me. I didn't even think there would be. I didn't think there would be a safe zone. I can best summarize it as my last year. I was in a literature class, but didn't have enough teachers to teach, you know, basic fucking classic literature. So instead they took this chick who was a feminist studies professor who made us read all this feminist literature. And so at the end of the semester, I kept quiet. For the first time in my life, I kept quiet. But whatever. Like, you know, I didn't say shit. I would go home and jerk off to, like, really awful porn just to stick it to me. And the last day, they asked me, Mike, what do you think? And I just stopped. I was the only dude in the class. Because my second last semester, I didn't give a shit. Like, well, I don't give a fuck. I looked at them all. I go, you know what, ladies? I'm white. I'm Christian. And I'm a male. I'm gonna win. And then I just walked away. Because they could not say anything, because the entire purpose of that class was, why are white men evil? And I'm like, you know what? I might be evil, but fuck you.
I'm not cutting you off. I'm literally getting out of her car. She has to be up at 7 a.m. So she can say goodbye, you can say goodbye, and we will continue the conversation as I walk into my place and grab my bags. Not that bag, but my actual bags with groceries.
If they would have
grabbed that. Goodbye to Rachel.
Goodbye, Rachel. He just called me a bag.
Good. I'm going to keep you on this conversation, and I'll take it off the speaker as I walk into my place, but she's got to go, otherwise I'm going to get punched in the face.
Deal with the woman. And we'll continue this.
No, I'm still. We're literally. I'm leaving. She encourages.
Shut up!
She's got to go, because if I'm not talking to you, I'm going to talk to her for the next 15 minutes and keep her up.
Talk to her.
And she's got like a 20 minute.
Please don't let him go.
She's got like a 20-25 minute drive back to her place. So
that's good.
I'm going to continue this. No, Rachel says good night.
You got
to. No, I want to.
You got to keep her awake.
That won't work well, because she's also my ride home tomorrow night.
what's with you in the ride? Oh, say goodbye to her.
Yeah, I don't have a car at the moment, but it's in the works. Long story, I don't have the we'll get into it. Hold on, I'm leaving the car. I'm going to take you off a speaker. Give me 2 seconds. I'm still here.
Alright,
I love you. Thank you. That was for you and Rachel. Hold on, I'm still here though. She's leaving, you're not. I just gotta get one more bag.
Go fucking kiss her. Shit.
Oh yeah, I should kiss her, right?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on, let me kiss her.
Mike Coughlin, and he's kissing his woman. What a fucking show this is.
I love you, thank you. Oh wait, I think I forgot. Did I give you the other thing? No, besides that, I forgot the other thing. As I just dropped my bag. The bracelet or no? Oh, you did. Okay. Something else just fell out of the soda bag. Oh, Diet Coke. Okay. All right. Love you. Bye. Okay. All right. It's just me now as I walk into my place.
No, sorry. We heard everything. It's fine.
That's fine. I'm a bit of an open book.
Oh, well, you're talking to the most
important. Suffolk County, New York.
I'm like a fucking shit. I've been drinking for way too long. Open encyclopedia? I started drinking at 4. It's almost midnight.
Oh wow.
Oh.
See, unfortunately, I cannot drink because I am on what they call probation. So it's not even a great story, but I am on probation, and you're not allowed to drink on felony probation. I have many layers. Nothing dastardly or anything. Nothing violent. Nothing. It's not a good story. I wish I could say I got into some kind of drunken bar fight, or I got busted with like kilos of fucking cocaine or something. I don't have a good like tough guy story with my whole situation.
But you have to keep sober, basically.
It's not. It wasn't even drug related. That's just like if you're on felony probation, you automatically are not allowed to drink. It's just sort of like better than going to jail. Exactly. So if that's the biggest punishment that you get is you can't have a beer, I can live with that as opposed to getting a rim job in a minimal security prison.
Whoa. Do not dismiss the amazingness of a rim job.
I might enjoy it. I don't know. I even had this conversation with my girlfriend one time when we were joking about people tend to, since I don't really give much of a fuck and I put a laugh ahead of what people think of me, whether it's to a fault or not.
It's good.
Yeah, I put a lot of gay content and stuff like that and have an affinity for what I found out just through falling into like a YouTube wormhole were these Asian, what they call bears. You know, I'm sure you know what a bear is in the whole gay community.
Yes.
So, I don't know if this is what they call them, but I sort of lovingly dub them pandas. They're like these chubby Asian homosexuals. And I stumbled on this video, which I will send you one day on Facebook, if not right after we get off the phone, called Asian Bear Love, something along those lines. And I don't think it was meant to be funny. But it's just a slideshow of all these different pictures of, for the most part, chubby slash stocky. Sort of like, they look like they all work for Old Japan or New Japan. That kind of build of guys in love. But it's set to that song, I don't know who sings the original, but it was one of those club, We Found Love in a Hopeless Place, but it's like a remake version of it. And it unintentionally made me laugh for like the entire 2.5 or 3 minutes of the video. So it just became a thing that was funny to me, which, again, would be insensitive to some. But at the same time, I was like, this is kind of beautiful. What are the odds that you're a chubby Asian guy and you're gay? Especially within the Asian culture of those countries where it may not be, I would assume, smiled upon. And then you find another chubby Asian guy who also wants a chubby Asian guy. And they look happy. So it like gave me hope of finding love someday, which I did.
So, you, to close this out, because we have to wrap this up soon.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, don't be fucking sorry. you believe in the idea of love in places that discriminate against love?
Yes, to a degree. I just thought it was, because I used to be married. That's another time. For another podcast.
Yeah, that's a mistake. Yeah.
It was. Although the good thing, not to sound corny and get out of the whole comedy room, was my son came with it, so that's obviously
You had a kid. Amazing. Everybody loves your kid.
Yeah.
Bob, Bob.
Yeah, obviously.
He's not.
Of course.
He's not dumb. He's not retarded, but he's probably
No.
But you don't want to admit it. I get it.
He's pretty good. He can be a dick, but he's my son, so that's expected. So, and he's only 7, so he's got more time to hopefully both be and not be just like his dad. Take the good and leave the bad. But yeah, Asian Bear Love, maybe the funniest video on YouTube, whether it was meant to be or not. yeah, I'll send you some pictures from it, some screen grabs, plus the video.
Damn.
And some of my favorite screen grabs. It's nothing even that crosses any line.
That's not
so
good. I wanted to cross the line, but it's okay if it doesn't, because that's how halfguarded.com, everybody, works. So I want to thank Chris for being just an amazing, amazing part of halfguarded.com. Like, your shit is outstanding. I love the parodies. It's brilliant, insightful, it's timely. If anybody has not seen it yet, go to halfguarded.com to see more of it. It is outstanding work. Like, not just like regular, oh, somebody's just screwing around. Like, you can tell you put real work into what you're doing. Like, you put time and effort into it. And I appreciate that, and I respect it, and I thank you so much for all the work you've done.
I thank you for the chance, as we're being sentimental and shit. But legitimately, I really appreciate the chance. I used to do just literal wrestling parodies for Meltzer and Alvarez years ago, and then stopped doing it, even though I shouldn't have, and then try it again, and luckily Peach Machine saw one that I submitted and said I like it, but add blah, blah, blah words to it. And I did literally in the waiting room of my therapist's office, which I just started. It's not a deep thing, but I go once a week to a therapist.
Hey, I am.
And I added it, yeah.
I'm on Xanax and Zoloft and Ambien and alcohol and weed and shit like that. But, you know, I am fully appreciative of that, and you do outstanding work. Feel free to expand your horizons to do, you know, your serious shit, all that stuff. If anybody wants to know, just go look at Chris's stuff on halfguarded.com. It will blow you away at how incredibly talented and funny it is. Like, you'll read it and you'll laugh. You read it a second time, you go, I did not catch that joke. And that is the best kind of comedy. So, Chris, I thank you so much for everything you've done for halfguarded.com.
Thank you. I legitimately, honestly, thank you. And that's a little humbling. And it's also good for my ego. I like attention.
I want to stroke the ego. So anyways, I got to
stroke whatever you want.
I'll stroke every fucking...
Especially if it becomes a profitable website. You can stroke whatever you want.
I'll give you $200 to spread your cheeks. Anyways, everybody, this is halfguarded.com. We're going to cut to a commercial break. Chris, thank you for being with us. I'm going to cut you off now. And thank you. I don't know what the fuck comes next, but thank you very much for being here.
All right. I love you, boss.
All right. Bye.
Thank you.